She knew, and she was jealous? Now he felt like smirking. Keeping his tone bland, he said, "Once, yes. What about now? Why? Are you still willing to share me?" He hadn't forgotten how easily she'd given him permission to bed other women. "Ha!" She patted his cheek. "Dream on, lover boy. You get tit for tat. You plan to kill my lovers? It's only fair that I kill yours, slowly. So," she prompted, "are you or are you not still attracted to Winter?"
"Do not lean into her touch."
"You would kill your friend?" Her eyes narrowed. "Answer me."
"I am not."
He watched her face. There, a glimmer of relief. She had been jealous. "My woman wants me as she should." Tone a little huskier, he said. "We'll discuss your jealousy later. For now, let's get you patched up." Her eyes really narrowed. "You heard Winter," she said. "She's coming back with supplies. Besides, I'm immortal, a non-jealous immortal. I'll heal."
"Not all immortals heal from all wounds."
And the color in her cheeks was beginning to dull, beads of sweat popping up along her brow and upper lip.
"Who did you battle?"
"The Walshes." "If you want names, I can't oblige. I didn't stop to introduce myself to the guys dying under my sword."
"Now that I've returned, I can fight on your behalf," she snorted.
"No need. I can fight for myself.
I'm strong."
He liked the idea of protecting and defending her. She rolled her eyes, unfazed. "So am I."
"You aren't stronger than me. Right now, you aren't stronger than the wind."
Shrug. "I can still take you down."
"Can you?"
he asked with a rough tone. His height and width gave him an unfair advantage and highlighted her feminine delicateness. "I can. And FYI, you can't intimidate me, big guy, not anymore."
"FYI?" "Can I not?"
"No, but I bet I can intimidate you," she said. This time she stepped toward him and wrapped her arms around his neck. Her gaze dared him to stay put as she slowly, languidly lifted to her tiptoes to bring her lips closer to his. She planned to kiss him, here in front of witnesses.
"Want this. We'll have this. We'll have her. I'll stake my claim."
The danger, already lust, threatened to overtake him and ruin everything. Puck lurched backward. She chuckled, taunting him, and said, "You lose."
Magnificent female.
She'd already figured out his weaknesses, hadn't she? "Why are you protesting a divorce anyway?" she asked. "You planned to cut me loose from the start. Why put off the inevitable? And where are the shears?"
"The shears are somewhere safe," he said. "And you'll get your divorce after William dethrones my brother, no sooner."
"Well, is that all that needs to happen before I can be rid of you? Okay, then, let's find William and go dethrone your brother."
"You will never be rid of me." "Enough!"
He scrambled to refortify his resolve. No one possessed a stronger will than him. He could do this, would do it. "Hey, guys," as promised, Winter returned with a bag of supplies. "Are we getting right down to the baby-making part of today's reunion, or do you two have a moment to play Dr. Love and Patient Zero?" A flush spread over Gillian's cheeks.
"Supplies," he said.
"Barely." Winter handed over the bag. "Now don't you go thinking I'm doing this out of the kindness of my heart or anything. If my girl dies of infection, I'll have to mourn. I suck at mourning, and no one likes to do the things they suck at." She strutted off a second time, and Gillian snatched the bag from Puck's grip. Another woman rushed over to set a wooden chair in the sand. Gillian muttered her thanks, sat, and cut away her bandage. The moment he caught sight of her wound, gaping flesh, torn muscle, cracked bone, barbed wire seemed to sprout around his heart and squeeze. She grimaced as she cleaned the injury. Then, with a shockingly steady hand, she ran a needle and thread through both sides of the laceration. "I have an idea," she said, as calmly as if she were gardening. "How about you use the shears as a good faith gesture? I'll help you murder Sin without being bonded to you. Win-win for both of us."
"Still can't wait to be rid of me."
"How about not?" She scowled at him but let the subject drop as she wrapped a clean bandage around her torso and stood. "You were right about one thing. I did a lot of sewing while you were gone. On myself."
Who was this woman?
and why was he throbbing with desire all over again?
Poppet?
William's voice rang out, loud and clear, and dripped with astonishment. William, you found us! Gillian laughed a magical sound, and Puck gnashed his teeth as she darted around him to throw herself into the other man's arms. Another laugh escaped her when William twirled her round and round. Inside Puck, possessive instincts stretched and screamed.
Rip her from the bastard's embrace. Kill him with your bare hands. Claim your woman now.
And feed William's vanity? Never. In this, Puck's pride was too great. As indifference snarled and roared, banging against his skull, he offered no resistance. But he wondered, was this the reason the Oracle suggested he temporarily wed Gillian, to hinder the demon, allowing Puck to feel while remaining strong? He remembered how badly he'd once wanted to experience his emotions, without suffering a consequence. Now he could, and yet, hate my emotions. I can't believe you're really here, Gillian said, tears of joy streaming down her cheeks. Where were her tears of joy for Puck?
As if I could stay away. Look at you.
William placed her on her feet and took her face in his trembling hands.
You've changed, a fact I hadn't expected to like. But immortality suits you well.
And you. She hugged him once, twice, then a third time, as if she couldn't stop. You are as flawless as I remember.
I missed you so much.
Again, William swung her round and round.
You did, truly? I mean, when I bonded with Puck, you washed your hands of me.
She knit her brows, which were a shade darker than her hair. For that matter, why'd you agree to help Puck? William set her back on her feet.
Not Puck, you. And I misspoke when I learned of your bonding. I was angry with myself, not you. I should have been the one to save you, me. I should have manned up, but I didn't. Instead, I lashed out, blaming everyone else. Truth is, my choices brought us to that fateful day, not yours, and I want to make it up to you. I will make it up to you.
She listened, rapt and adoring. Puck bristled with hostility. How are the lords and ladies? She asked William.
Alive and well.
A glint of happiness in her eyes, right alongside a glint of sadness. She missed her friends, because of Puck.
Don't care. I don't. I did what I needed to do. Now I want to hear every detail about your life, William said. Start at the beginning, when we parted, and end with your gaze finding me in this hellhole. Leave nothing out.
Hellhole?
I'd rather hear about your adventures, William.
Puck offered the pair a cold grin.
Why don't you tell us about your many bedroom conquests since Gillian's marriage to me?
If glares could kill an immortal, Puck would be bloody and dead. William softened his expression and said,
All forgettable, my sweet. There's absolutely nothing to tell.
Gillian rested her head on his shoulder and clung to his arm, all while assessing Puck with a masked gaze. How about I give you the highlights? I started my own clan, rescued women and children from bad homes, and became the most feared warrior in the land. Oh, and I recently decided to start dating, because I'm divorced.
Enough! The command spewed from Puck before he could bite his tongue. You want a divorce so badly, earn it.
Ooh la la, another show of heat. She exuded excitement, even as she braced for disappointment. Return of the Iceman in 3, 2...
Bury emotions. Deep freeze. There.
Better. And he's back, she said with a sigh. William stuck out his lower lip, pretending to pout, and used his free hand to twist a fist under his eye.
Boo-hoo, poor Pucky. Is our fur baby pouting about his lost kingdom?
Puck rested his hand on the hilt of a dagger and contemplated removing the male's tongue. He needed his key alive, not able to speak. Be nice, Gillian said, her gaze on Puck. For some reason, his tension hemorrhaged the moment she released William. I've spent a lot of time studying your brother. He's so paranoid he built a fortress the size of Texas and conjured a maze around it. No one can get to him, because I've never tried. If I allow myself to be captured and carted inside like a Trojan horse, I could kill the guards and sneak you two inside.
Puck said, No.
At the same time, William gave an adamant shake of his head and shouted, Not happening. Her lips pursed with irritation. Will I be hurt? Yes. I won't pretend otherwise. Am I afraid of pain? No.
Will the little girl obey the big, strong men? Go screw yourselves.
More spirit, more stubbornness. Will I allow you to head straight to your unhappy ending? Puck said, no. You could be killed on sight, or worse.
Especially if Sin discovered what she meant to him. Not that she meant anything to him. Rephrase, especially if Sin discovered Puck had bonded to her. Better.
Agreeing with Mr. Muppet grieves me, but in this I must.
William settled a fist over his heart, a position of faux dejection that in no way belied his immeasurable strength.
We go together or not at all.
And what does he mean, unhappy ending?
Gillian waved away the question as unimportant.
We'll leave at first light, Puck pointed to her bandage. Tonight you'll heal.
Sir, yes, sir. We'll also feast, she saluted him, her expression unreadable. Tomorrow, we'll head out to kick Sin the Demented off the Cunot throne and get me my divorce.
Chapter 21 He was back. Puck had returned as promised, making Gillian feel as if unicorns were prancing through her chest and fairies were dancing inside her stomach. He was even more beautiful than she remembered, otherworldly beautiful, with his chiseled features carved from ice and stone, his long dark hair, those horns, his utterly divine scent, more potent than magic, more intoxicating than wine. She shivered. Everything about the warrior appealed to her. His towering height and wide shoulders, all those cuts of glorious sinew and latent strength, his tattoos, his lean hips and muscular legs, his massive hard-on. Yeah, he'd gotten hard. For her? For someone else? And she'd noticed the moment it happened, despite wanting to stare at his face forever. His shaft was a magnet for her gaze. Apparently the Dune Raider wanted to go a raiding in Puck's pants. Finally, she had proof. Old fears would not rise up and overtake her. Dang him, the second she'd spotted him, a sizzling bolt of lust had slammed into her, igniting a wildfire in her veins and an aching need between her legs, making a mockery of everything she'd felt in the past. Even now, awareness tingled beneath the surface of her skin, skin burned by a constant white-hot flush. Breathing was now a luxury, panting the norm. Her heart had yet to slow down. Her body craved relief and wanted it from him, only him, her husband. Already unofficially divorced, who was she kidding? Having been forced to bury her physical desires for centuries, she'd become a master at hiding her needs. Those skills served her well today, allowing her to fool both Puck and William. Crave Puck's mouth and hands? What? When? Me? Once or twice she'd feared Puck had figured her out, feared he could see underneath her calm facade, how her knees threatened to melt every time he revealed emotion or heat. Once she'd thought he'd gazed at her with palpable longing. But no matter how desperate she might be, or how much he might or might not desire her, the reasons for avoiding sex with him hadn't changed. He would freeze her out afterward, making her feel used and abused. She would kill him. And in turn inadvertently kill herself. No thanks. Unless she iced him out afterward, food for thought. Or she could just wait for the divorce. As soon as the bond got axed, she would crave other men, surely. Besides, what was a few more days or weeks of abstinence after half a millennium? But oh, she was tired, so very tired of hearing about her friends' amazing sex lives. Sex is beautiful, Rosaline had once said. A communion of bodies and souls, and the pleasure. She'd smiled a cat-eating-the-canary grin. I was so primed for an orgasm, I didn't care if the world around me ashed, not until I was done with my man. That was what Gillian craved.
You guys want a tour of the camp? She asked.
Puck nodded, his gaze never wavering from her face, as if he couldn't look away, as if he'd found a prize worth fighting for. A coil of warmth unfurled in her belly, even as she chided herself for more wishful thinking.
I would love a personal private tour, William said.
William, sweet William. She'd been so excited to see him, more excited than she'd thought she'd be, considering he'd faded to a fond but distant memory in the back of her mind and heart. His fairy tale face and fantastical electric blues had grown harder in their time apart. And he had a sharper edge, too. If only her body responded to him. He was never cold with her.
As she led her guests through camp, Puck fell into step between her and William, his body heat raising her already sensitized nerve endings. Maintaining her casual facade jumped from possible to improbable. Neither male noticed. At the moment, they were too busy glaring at each other.
William broke first, tossing a careless smile Gillian's way.
"Tell me true, Poppet. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 meaning you nearly perished from heartbreak every minute of every day, and 10 meaning you did indeed perish because you could no longer live without me, but hope of a reunion brought you back to life. How badly did you miss me?"
Snort.
"We were parted," she asked, feigning confusion.
"Oh, how you wound me."
He bypassed Puck to stop in front of her and brush a lock of hair from her face.
"You fared well here?"
"I did." She wouldn't trade her time in Amaranthia for anything. Again, Puck stepped between them. Though he wore his favorite Iceman expression, broadcasting zero emotion, he wrapped his hand around William's windpipe, squeezing while lifting her friend off his feet.
"I will give you only one warning, Everrandi. This is my land."
"Mine," Gillian corrected.
Still glaring at William, he said, "She is mine. Until we are unbonded, no one gets between me and her, understand?"
Lightning crackled under William's skin as he slammed an elbow into Puck's forearm, gaining his release.
"You have no right, don't I?" Puck jutted his chin. "Or do I need to remind you of our deal? You are to keep your hands to yourself."
Always so cold, yet so hostile, now intense and possessive. Why did she want to throw herself into her husband's muscular arms?
"What deal?" she asked.
"What deal do you think?" Puck replied. "The one where William helps me claim my crown."
"Not that part," she said and rolled her eyes. "The part about keeping his hands to himself." He glared at William, but remained mute.
"Jealousy isn't a good look on you, Pucky,"
William snapped, though he did power down, the lightning under his skin fading.
"But then what is? Or is this an act to keep me in line?"
He spread his arms wide.
"Well, no need. Consider me lined."
"I protect my investment," Puck snapped back.
Ugh. She'd once referred to herself as an investment, hadn't she? Silly little girl.
"You'll lose her soon enough," William said.
The color in her husband's face heightened. He grabbed hanks of his hair, razors cutting his palms, blood swelling. Eyes squeezed shut, he grated.
"What's happening?
Instincts?
Kill threat?
Can't
kill William? Because he'd threatened Puck's marriage?" Softening, Gillian reached for Puck, intending to distract him with touch. But she needn't have bothered. The Iceman returned, of course. He straightened, his arms falling to his sides, his expression devoid of any emotion. Disappointment struck, but she ignored it. What had she expected?
"Gillian!"
a familiar voice squealed. The patter of footsteps echoed, a stampede of them actually, growing closer by the second. Both Puck and William braced for attack a split second before a gaggle of children circled her, shoving the guys out of the way. Her heart nearly burst with love as she received smiles, hugs, and kisses. These rescued children adored her, and the feeling was mutual. One of their teachers called out, "All right, children, enough. You've got a paper to write, and our queen has duties to oversee." Amid groans of disappointment, Gillian promised to visit the school later on. Just like that, the groans were replaced by cheers. The children raced away. William gazed at her with a quizzical expression.
"Queen?"
She shrugged. "Tradition is strong in Amaranthia, eh? Though I've created a democracy, most Shawazans prefer the old ways with a ruling class."
"After your... I can't bring myself to say the B-word," he shuddered. "I researched Puck and learned a few things about his homeland. Females are often forced to become fillies in a stable with hundreds of others. They are banned from the battlefield and punished if they dare learn to read or write."
He spat the words at Puck as if her husband should carry all the blame. "That is changing," she said, her chest puffing up. "A few of my women have stables of their own, where men are like kept stallions. We war, and we learn whatever we want without reservation."
Frowning now, William massaged the back of his neck.
I should have trained you to fight when we first met.
I wasn't ready, she admitted. Back then, any hint of violence had panicked her. With his arms crisscrossed over his chest, his biceps bigger than her hopes and dreams, Puck stared her down.
Do you have a stable of stallions?
Dude, if only. She suspected having a stable wasn't the same as dating in his mind. William gaped at her, as if she'd just admitted to being pregnant with triplet demons.
You desire a stable?
Like you have any room to judge, she said, and humphed. You've been with 99% of the female population. Boy, you get around. He reached for her again, only to catch himself, fist his hand, and drop his arm to his side. A flare of irritation in his eyes before he said, his voice low and husky,
merely practice for you.
Oh, please. How many times have you used that particular line?
When compared to the size of my hit it and quit it number, practically zero, he replied, only slightly abashed.
How many did practically equal?
She motioned the guys forward, not daring to look Puck's way.
He'd gone silent, which wasn't a good sign. The best predators watched and waited. Come on, she said, let's finish the tour. The sooner she got to Peanut, the better. In the ensuing half hour, every woman who spotted Puck and William had one of three reactions: a fit of giggles, a blush, or a seductive wave. William waved back, even winked a time or 12, but Puck pretended not to notice, or maybe he didn't notice. He remained focused on Gillian as she talked about the home she'd helped build. How, after paying an architectural engineer and finding out what she'd needed, she and her clanswomen had spent decades digging with tools and magic until reaching a layer of compacted soil beneath the sand. They'd also dragged, carried, magically hauled, or manufactured different-sized stones and metals to the campsite to create screw piles, gravel for concrete, and everything else they'd required. A lot of hard work, a lot of time and energy, and a lot of trial and error, but totally worth it. They created secure homes with all the essentials: stove, storage, arsenal, and space for a bed. Because the Shawazans lived near a gorgeous, pristine lake, other clans constantly attacked, hoping to take over. Hat tip to anyone who managed to do the impossible.
I'm amazed, William said. My delicate girl has...
Delicate? Oh, but he'd raised her hackles with that little gem. He refused to see her another way, despite everything she'd shown him. Well, she'd have to teach him better. Hold my daggers, she said to Puck.
William hurried to reassure her. I merely complimented you. You've changed, strengthened. Stories of your exploits will be told long after you've gone.
Her stomach flip-flopped as realization settled in. He expected her to leave Amaranthia. No doubt Puck did as well, after he'd won the Connaught crown. As archaic as he was, he might cut the Shawazans from an all-clan alliance. Tingles on the back of her neck, heat racing down her spine. She dug her nails into her palms, drawing blood. Inhale, exhale. Hulking out won't do anyone any good. Searching for calm. There. A well of confidence. No one cut the Shawazans from an alliance. You expect me to leave Amaranthia when you become king? She demanded. He frowned at her.
Of course.
Knew it. Too bad. Unlike you, I finish what I start. She would be staying, and she would remain queen. Her people would be protected always. You will not have a happy ending. She tuned out the oracle's prediction, even as her stomach performed another flip-flop. Frown deepening, Puck tilted his head, his study of her intensifying.
What are you trying to tell me?
He needed clarity? Fine, she'd spell it out. If you try to disband the Shawazans when you unite the clans, I will find a way to dethrone you. Gillian was tempted to use the last of her magic just to prove her strength, something she would have done without hesitation as a plucky 200-year-old. But she was older now, wiser, and refused to waste the hard-won gift she'd acquired. She wielded magic for protection, defense, and survival, not bragging rights. She expected resistance. She'd threatened him, after all. But he softened.
Your clan will always have a place here, lass.
Really? Okay, yes, thank you. Goodbye, indignation. No, not goodbye. Not entirely. Like a parasite, indignation found a way inside William.
He flicked the tip of his tongue against an incisor, as if he could taste the blood of his enemy and liked it.
To divert him, she said, I showed you mine, now you show me yours. What else did you do during my absence? And don't you dare tell me a gentleman never spills.
Oh, I won't, Poppet. His voice possessed a formal tone he'd never before used with her. Even gentlemen spill with the proper incentive.
His meaning crystallized, and she blushed like a maiden of 216.
Puck sucked in a breath as if he,
what, liked her blush?
Or maybe he just wanted to murder William for flirting.
Either way, meow. Won't look.
Any heat would fade from his dark eyes with their glittering starbursts, and he would regard her with cold disinterest.
Other than drinking myself into stupors and fighting beside my father in the underworld? William sighed. I threw man tantrums, searched for you, and considered all the ways to punish Puck.
Ha! Man tantrums. The worst kind. And William's were even worse than most.
So what's your favorite method? Puck asked.
He didn't sound curious or upset or even particularly intrigued.
That's easy, William rubbed his hands together.
All evil overlord.
Skinning you alive to make a flesh coat, then wearing it as I hack you to bits. Slowly. You'll become a cautionary tale. The moral? When someone hopes to experience the horrors of hell on earth, mess with my woman.
Puck stiffened, his body language saying more than words. Basically,
she's all mine. Hands off or get bent.
At least that was what Gillian heard. And dang it, the possessiveness kind of sort of delighted her. Not that it would last.
I'm not yours or anyone's, she told William. You're my friend, but...
William took her rejection in stride, saying,
You aren't mine today, but you will be. I'll make sure of it.
She almost asked, What about your curse?
And, Do you think I'm the one destined to slay you?
Once she'd been too feeble. Now, threat to the max.
For some reason, that made her glance at Puck, and she gasped.
He watched her, his stare penetrating and intense, aggressive even, as if he had suddenly mentally stripped her.
Shivers danced down her spine.
Her panties? Now soaked.
Huh? How can you be so sure, she said, forcing herself to focus on William.
Stuttering? Her?
With a glare at Puck, he said,
I'm the total package, darling. Beauty, brains, brawn, and fated.
Fated, a.k.a. meant to be, a.k.a. everything happens for a reason, a.k.a. her most reviled idioms.
Yes, she'd once been overjoyed by the idea of belonging to William. Now?
No such thing as fated.
Over the centuries, she'd watched couples interact, fascinated by their nuances, how some crumbled at the first sign of trouble and others flourished.
There's attraction and then... If you want to sustain the relationship, there's hard work.
But what causes the first draw, hmm?
William asked.
If you're telling me the first draw is fated, then you'll have to tell me why the attraction sometimes fades.
He glowered, because he had no response.
Oracles can predict who will end up with whom,
Puck said, his tone somewhat sharp.
Prediction is different from fate, she pointed out.
Fate is what drives us, William said.
Ugh, he was one of those. People who assigned a supernatural reason to every calamity or blamed a higher power. And there was a higher power, absolutely. Gillian's friend Olivia, former friend, she supposed, since they hadn't spoken in over 500 years, was a sent one married to Aeron, former keeper of wrath. Olivia had often spoken about Most High's creation of humans and other beings, but the MH did not cause tragedies. He was the essence of love. Bad things happen because people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Bad things happen because evil existed, because good people made bad choices, because bad people did bad things. The only reason an adult raped a child? His own sick desires. All that I couldn't help myself crap? A lie. Her step-horror should have resisted temptation. Not that young Gillian should have been any kind of temptation. They made their choices, them, no one else. And, okay, say a female cheated on her male. She ruined the love match, not fate. Say a male ventured somewhere he wasn't supposed to go and died. His actions caused his death, not fate.
Has Keeley or someone else foretold us? She asked William.
He glowered again.
No, But I'm certain here. He tapped the center of his chest. A rough sound sprang from Puck.
Continue walking, tune out husband.
Trust me when I say you don't want to be mine, she said to William. According to the oracles, I'll kill my man's dreams, have to choose between what could be and what will be, and never experience a happy ending.
The oracles are wrong, he replied. They probably aren't even certified as foreknowledge specialists.
There was no such thing, right?
Puck believed the oracles, no doubt about it. She did too, sometimes, at her lowest. But even still, she remained determined. Her life would be whatever she made it. She would have a happy ending because she would accept nothing less. She would fight and fight hard to achieve her goals. Nothing would stop her. Look how far she'd come already.
Gillian?
Warm, calloused fingers stroked her jaw. Drugging tingles followed.
You stopped.
Why? She blinked rapidly, snapping to attention just in time to watch William knock Puck's hand away. Even when her mind had been unaware, her husband had made her body react. The two men snarled at each other.
Mercy. Who was she supposed to vote for, Beauty or the Beast?
You know who.
Deciding retreat was her best option, she said. I'll spread the word that you guys aren't to be harmed. Feel free to walk about, look around, whatever you want, but do not hurt anyone. Got it? And do not sleep with my soldiers. If Puck cheated on her... Teeth clenched, she added. I'll see you at the feast this evening. Head high, she marched off before anyone could protest.
Won't look back, absolutely will not. She turned a corner, putting a house between her and the guys, avoiding the temptation. Out of sight, out of mind. Pasting a fake smile on her face, she made a beeline for Rosaline. A petite beauty with gorgeous brown skin, dark hair and darker eyes. She would be considered flawless if not for the X branded into her forehead, the mark of her former master. The cruel brute had ensured his fillies could be identified with a single glance if ever they managed to escape.
Double the guard around the perimeter, Gillian said.
The Walshes would know the Shawwazans decimated the outpost because she'd left her favorite calling card, no survivors. They would attack, and soon. And ask our best cooks to whip up a feast fit for a queen. Tonight we celebrate the return of my husband and friend.
Are we adding poison to expedite the end of your marriage? And if so, do you want him to die slow or fast?
Rosaline asked, totally serious. Valid questions. She pretended to think over her response.
No poison. Tomorrow I'm escorting the men to the Connaught Fortress. Winter and Cameron are coming with us, I'm sure, which means you and Johanna will be in charge.
Rosaline nodded.
Be careful. I encountered Sin Connaught only once, but he spooked me for life. There's something seriously off about him.
We'll defeat him. Failure was not an option. Avoiding everyone else, Gillian made her way home. A small stone house she'd helped build. She'd never taken an interest in decorating, so the walls remained unpainted. The only personal touches, the weapons she'd hung here, there, everywhere, and the shelf holding jars she'd filled with trophies she'd taken from the most vicious of her victims. What would Puck and William think of her living quarters? Out of sight, out of mind, remember? Through the door, absolute, utter chaos greeted her. Peanut had thrown a fit. He'd shredded her couch, dismantled her kitchen table, and removed a leg from a chair reserved for special guests. The only thing her pet hadn't ruined was her bed, and only because she slept in a loft upstairs, and he couldn't climb the ladder. No sign of him inside. With a sigh, she trekked to the backyard. A fence separated her boxed vegetable garden and potted fruit trees from Peanut's barn.
Come out, wherever you are, she called.
Though Gillian remained a vegetarian, Peanut required meat. For his sake, she'd learned to hunt, skin, and prepare meals that would keep him strong. In fact, she had a ritual. Once a week, she journeyed into the nearest forest on her own, hunted and mourned her kills. Because, yes, she always named the animals and envisioned a future as best friends. Animals were awesome. Killing them affected her in a way killing people did not. Maybe because most people sucked. Peanut trotted out of the barn, as if he hadn't a care, and plopped in the shade offered by the apple tree, grown with magic, where he munched on a fallen fruit. Well, not all animals were awesome.
He refused to meet her gaze, even turned his head away.
Worse than a toddler, she thought, and stretched out beside him. He flicked her a glance that said, I'll allow you to pet me.
Except when she reached out to stroke the soft fur behind his ear, his glare said, but only with your gaze.
I miss you, nutty buddy. He humped at her.
I've got to go on another trip tomorrow, and I don't know how long I'll be gone, she admitted. The apple fell from his mouth and rolled past her thigh.
Good thing you get to go with me, huh? She added, before he could erupt into another fit.
You just have to be nice to... He was on his feet and licking her face before she could finish the sentence. Laughing, she nuzzled her cheek against his neck and wrapped her arms around him.
Tonight, I'll introduce you to my husband and friend. They'll be coming with us. I'm pretty sure you'll dislike them both.
Out of sight, but not out of mind.
Accept it. Deal with it.
Puck is magnificent but terrible, sweet but cruel, kind but unconcerned, intelligent but clueless. He might want me, he might not. With him it's difficult to tell.
Either way, her body continued to want his, and she wanted... She just plain wanted.
Her plan to wait for an official divorce might have been a wee bit hasty. What harm could come from using Puck and taking her pleasure, her due? After everything he'd put her through, he owed her. And whether he'd admit it or not, he wanted her too, and not just because of the bond. He must, the way he'd jumped between her and William, caressed her, the way he'd looked at her. She'd gotten her first lingering glance. If she dared to encourage Puck, truly encourage him, would he dare to make a move on her? Well, there was only one way to find out.
Chapter 22 Puck stayed in the shadows, observing Gillian in her natural habitat with her pet.
He might want me. He might not.
Wonder no more, wife. He wants you.
Once her pet fell asleep, she left a check on her people. Puck tracked and studied her, unwilling to spend even a moment away from her.
Left her for weeks without a problem. Now I can't leave her for a few minutes?
Twice she stiffened, as if she knew someone watched her, but she never called him out. She had changed so much more than he'd realized. She walked with confidence now, her head held high. Any room she entered, she owned. Her people adored her, yes, but she adored her people right back. She had a big heart, loved passionately, and lived life by her own rules. The kitten had become a tigress.
When one of her soldiers stopped her to ask for relationship advice, she said, I don't have a lot of experience in this arena, or any, but I'm pretty sure you're supposed to always leave him wanting more. Unless he says something cruel, or lies, or hits, then you leave him dead.
Though she clearly had a ton of work to do around the village, she always stopped to chat with anyone who approached her. She had hugs and praise for the children, and ensured livestock and chimeras were well taken care of. Puck found himself oddly fascinated, and still hard. Too many times to count, he looked at her mouth and wondered how deep she could take his length. He didn't know what he needed. His wife out of the picture, his wife underneath him, over him, in front of him on her hands and knees. Yes, yes, all of that. He needed his wife to moan his name and claw his back and beg him for...
What are you doing? Resist her allure.
He hated all this wanting, hated dreading the end of his marriage when he should be eager for it. She was his, but not. Without the bond to Puck, she would crave William once again, unless Puck addicted her to his touch. Could he? Yes, absolutely. He could do anything, was known as the undefeated for a reason. But he wouldn't addict her. He would be better served keeping his distance. There was no good reason to let his feelings intensify and complicate an already complicated situation. He could barely handle what he felt now. An old adage he needed to remember. Why willingly walk into a sword when you could move around it?
Gillian popped a grape into her mouth and waited for Puck to grace the feast with his exalted presence. She sat before a crackling fire pit, William at her side. Shawasans formed a circle around them, sharing platters of food, jugs of ale, and goblets of water.
Laughter echoed through the night, blending with a thousand different conversations and the soft thrum of music as clanswomen played handmade drums, flutes, and harps. In the center of the circle, a group of dancers rocked their hips while twirling scarves with wild abandon. Cameron danced among them, teasing one woman in particular. True to his nature, he often became obsessed with a single woman for weeks at a time, sometimes months, and did everything in his power to seduce and lure. The moment he won her heart, however, the chase ended, as did his obsession. He would move on to someone else. This particular woman had held out longer than most, but she would cave. They always caved. Gillian had bathed, changed into her best leathers, and plaited her hair. Not that anyone could see her hair. She wore a bold, colorful headscarf, one of her favorites, though the material was too gossamer to protect against sand and wind. She simply liked the look of it. Crystal beads hung from the upper hem, giving her bejeweled bangs. William had dropped to his knees the moment he'd spotted her, as if struck by a bolt of lightning, even as she'd laughed, delighted by his antics. She'd shaken with anticipation to discover Puck's reaction. Where was he? Even Peanut had joined the feast. As predicted, he detested William on sight and had already peed on his boots, nipped his ass, and spit in his face. To William's credit, he hadn't retaliated. Cursed up a storm, yes, but nothing more. Good thing. If he'd lashed out physically, he would have gotten the stinky boot out of camp. Puck's mission be damned. Mess with what's mine, pay the price. Dang it, why hadn't Puck shown up?
You're doing it again, William grumbled.
Doing what? She asked, confused.
Watching for Puck, missing all my best moves.
Not just grumbled this time, but snarled.
You don't want him, Poppet, trust me, please. The bond is screwing with your mind, nothing more.
Those were your best moves? Wow, I feel sorry for you. And how had he known she desired Puck? How had he known to play on her fears about the bond? Sorry, Liam, but you've lost your golden touch. Eyes hooded, he leaned toward her, seduction incarnate.
You've never known my touch. His voice deepened and developed a husky rasp. I have a feeling you'll like it very much.
Except she remained unresponsive to him. I remember a time you didn't want me. Not too long ago, in fact. Only a handful of weeks have passed for you. What's changed?
You, he said simply.
I have changed, yes. And you were right. I do want Puck, she admitted.
Rigid as steel, he opened his mouth to say something, thought better of it, and ground his teeth. He will never give you what you need.
And what do I need, hmm?
Devotion.
Actually, I need orgasms, a bald statement, and perfectly true, except a tide of longing rose inside her. Devotion sounded amazing, to trust her lover, to know he would never willingly hurt or betray her. A commotion to the right. Out of habit, Gillian reached for a dagger, only to still. Puck had arrived at long last. The rest of the world vanished as her gaze collided with his. In an instant, her blood turned molten, and her heart decided to do a hard rock drum solo. So badly she yearned to reach out and stroke him. In the firelight, his horns appeared longer, thicker. He hadn't shaved, so a shadow of dark stubble covered his jaw. He had bathed, though. His damp hair dripped at the ends, sending water droplets careening down the ridges of his bare chest. Those droplets disappeared under the waist of his sheepskin breeches. He was a warrior, a man, and an animal-like predator all at once, which only worsened her fascination with him. What did he think of her? He stared at her mouth as he rubbed his thumb over his bottom lip, as if he was imagining kissing her. Yes, please. Then his gaze traced over her body, lingering everywhere she ached, as if he knew how desperately she wanted his hands and lips to follow. Did he know? Expression devoid of emotion, he closed the distance. His hands, she sucked in her breath. His hands were balled into fists. Well, well, he wasn't as stoic as he wanted her to believe. I affect him. Silent, he sat at her side. His bicep bulged as he plucked two fire-roasted squash medallions from a nearby platter, tossed one to Peanut, and popped the other into his mouth. Her husband chewed, swallowed, and concentrated on the dancers. She liked the way his jaw moved, every motion carnal. Shocker. Peanut sniffed him, then gently head-butted his hand, demanding to be petted. Her chimera had never accepted anyone so quickly.
"Your demon spawn scents you on Puck," William mumbled. "There's no more to it than that."
She tried. She tried so hard, but she couldn't remove her focus from Puck. "You do realize you ate a piece of squash, right?" Mimicking a caveman, she added, "Meat good, vegetables bad, remember?"
"I eat for strength always, even if I'm offered trash food."
His attention remained on the dancers, even as his deep, husky voice stole over Gillian's skin like a caress. Did he find one of her clanswomen attractive?
"Besides, everything I eat is tasteless to me."
Though she hadn't inherited that particular disadvantage, compassion trumped her urge to dismiss the dancers. "Courtesy of indifference?" He offered a single, curt nod.
"Are your lovers tasteless as well?"
William leaned over, grabbed the last medallion of squash, and popped it into his mouth. His eyes closed and he moaned, as if he'd gotten caught up in the throes of a climax. When he finished, he licked his lips and smirked.
"I bet you try your very best to give a woman a mediocre experience. Well, I wouldn't worry any longer. Go ahead and consider it missionary accomplished." "I haven't taken a lover outside of my marriage. Perhaps I need more practice to reach your expert level of seduction," Puck said. "Tell me, Panty Melter, how many thousands of women does it take after you've met the one you believe is your fated mate?"
Oh, baby, the claws were out tonight. Where was popcorn when she needed it? And okay, excitement was probably the exact wrong reaction over another potential man brawl. But come on. Puck just admitted he hadn't slept with anyone while they were parted. Strung as tight as a bow, William said,
"I have never wanted to kill a man more than I want to kill you, Pucky. The feeling is mutual, Randy."
Wanting, needing to know if sexual tension tormented Puck as fervently as it tormented her, if something she'd said or done had reached him on a primitive level, Gillian tracked her fingers along the rise of his knuckles, so soft, so warm, so perfect. He whipped around to face her, his eyes narrowed and glittering, his breaths coming in great heaves. The bulge behind his fly was massive.
"Touch me again, and I'll press you into the sand and slam inside you."
Her first thought,
"Yes, finally." Her second, "He wants me so bad."
As her mind whirled and her body wept with relief, William's irises glowed red with menace.
"I hope you like three ways, Pucky, because I'll be throwing myself into the mix."
"You can try," Puck said, his jaw clenched.
Guys, I need you to... What, kiss each other and make up? Now wouldn't that be nice?
To her surprise, Puck stood and stalked away without uttering another word. True to form, he never looked back. Peanut, the traitor, leaped up to trail after him. She wanted to do the same, but consoled herself with a silver medal choice and glared at William.
"What?" he demanded. "What did I do wrong?"
"Stop flirting with me in front of Puck, and stop antagonizing him. I'm not going to sleep with you, William. I'm not going to cheat on my husband."
Her dreams of dating other guys had gone up in flames the moment she'd first entertained the idea, whether she'd known it or not.
"He's your temporary husband. There's a difference, and I'm not asking you to cheat on him."
"What are you asking me to do, then?"
"What else?"
He spread his arms wide.
"Give a suitor a proper kiss."
"What? What's that look? Kissing isn't cheating. It's one friend helping another friend refill her lungs. Kissing is survival."
"If you believe that, I feel sorry for your true lady love."
Just to be mean, because yes, Gillian had developed a wee bit of a cruel streak, she added, "whoever she happens to be." As he studied her face, perhaps searching for weaknesses in her resolve, he appeared flabbergasted, as if he'd never known rejection of any kind, and had no idea what had just happened. He opened his mouth, closed it, opened, closed. Finally, he settled on,
"Your strong moral code turns me on."
"Please, a gentle wind turns you on." I want you, William said, and this time his tone had a little bite.
Okay, say I wanted you back. How would we spend our life together?
I would war with Lucifer. You would tend my wounds, as before.
Ugh. You think that would be enough for me?
Crystalline eyes aglow, he said huskily. Every moment in between we would spend in bed.
Still not enough. And if I wanted to fight at your side?
We'd negotiate.
Meaning he would try to talk her into staying home. Old Gillian would have thrilled. New Gillian wanted a gag.
Explain why you want me specifically, she said. Why you would come here for me. Why you would help Puck just to free me from the bond. I have a vague memory of overhearing some of the lords talking about how you were waiting for my 18th birthday to claim me. More vividly, I remember you telling me that you would never fall in love or get married.
He tugged on the end of her thickest braid, a playful action that belied the growing strain in his expression.
From the beginning, I knew there was something different about you. I fought it. I told myself I wouldn't do anything with you, no matter how old you were or weren't. But deep down I knew the moment you were ready I would pounce. Then Puck took you away and I felt as if I'd lost...
What? Your favorite toy?
Everything.
The single word hit her like a punch in the sternum. Her ribs seemed to crack, acid leaking out. For a moment, she said nothing. She couldn't. She hoped his intensity would lessen and he'd crack a joke. He didn't. If he truly desired her, if he considered Gillian his fated mate, why hadn't he eschewed other women and waited for her? He should have waited for her.
William.
No, don't say anything. Not until the bond is severed.
Was he right? Would her desire for Puck really fade? If so, would she want William in her bed? Her body? Right now she couldn't imagine wanting anyone but her husband. A muscle jumped under his eye once, twice.
If you feel like you must be with him, go. Be with him. Sow your wild oats. Get him out of your system.
Staring up at the heavens, he said in a quieter tone,
I deserve this. I really do.
I'm not doing this to punish you, she said, then frowned.
She didn't owe him an explanation or excuse.
I will sow my oats, and not because you permit it.
Had the circumstances reversed, Puck wouldn't tell her to get another man out of her system. No, he would keep his promise to kill anyone she even thought about dating, because he wanted her passion all to himself, clearly.
Touch me again, and I'll press you into the sand and slam inside you.
Decadent shivers, irresistible heat.
Get a grip.
Just take a cold shower tonight, she said. Then kiss and make up with Puck, okay? Oh, good gracious, that image again, hubba hubba. And make sure I'm there to serve as witness. She pressed her hands together to form a steeple. Please, please, 1,000 times, please. He tisk-tisked, his intensity lessening the slightest bit.
Cold showers are a myth. No man has ever taken one. We're more inclined to take hot showers and exercise a bicep with a repeated up-and-down motion, if we can't find a suitable replacement for whoever left us swollen and needy.
Then do that, she said,
and waved her hand in a shooing motion.
Which one? The shower or the replacement?
Either. Both.
Harsh, woman. Harsh.
He flattened his hand against his chest, right above his heart. One day you'll want me yourself, forever and always.
There went her amusement. I'm sorry, William, but...
No, don't say anything you'll regret.
As the back of her neck prickled with awareness, perhaps anticipation, she scanned the crowd and thrilled. Puck hadn't left the party after all. Or if he had, he'd returned. He stood on the fringes, shrouded by shadows. Did he watch her? Heart fluttering, she stood before she realized she'd moved.
Stay here and have fun, Liam. I might or might not be back.
I might or might not be counting the seconds.
Liam blew her a kiss before flipping off Puck. Noticed him too, had he? Gillian hurried over, just before she reached Puck. He turned on his heel and strode away. This time, she followed. Rosaline stepped into her path, stopping her.
Your friend, the one with baby blues, you didn't tell me he was the most beautiful man in creation. Is he single?
Very. Gillian looked around her. No sign of Puck, dang it. The general fanned her flushed cheeks. Mind if I make a move? Not even a little. If anything, Rosaline would be doing her a favor, keeping William occupied.
Johanna came over and slung an arm around Rosaline's shoulders.
Did you ask about the blue-eyed devil? Single, the other woman replied with a wide grin. The two high-fived.
What about the horned one? Johanna wiggled her brows.
You're done with him, right?
Gillian stiffened, happy one moment, ready to commit murder the next.
He's still married. To me.
Both women paled as they held up their hands, palms out, all innocence, and backed away.
Whoa, whoa, Rosaline said. No reason to hulk out.
I'm not going to touch him, honest, Johanna said.
Deep breath in, out.
Sorry, Gillian muttered.
Look, I've got to go.
She darted around her friends, searching, searching.
If she couldn't find Puck through natural means, she'd have to use magic.
With the coming journey, she would much rather hoard magic.
Wait, there. Strange prints, the tread unequally distributed, as if a hoof-shaped weight had worn down the soul's center. Natural means for the win.
She trailed him to her house. Excitement making her limbs weak, she shut and locked the door. Puck occupied the living room, his back to her as he walked around, examining the many weapons that hung on the walls. Did he understand she'd taken them as trophies, or did he doubt her like William?
"Where is Peanut?" she asked.
"In the barn, resting."
A sudden thought struck her. How had Puck found her house? She hadn't shown him, and none of her soldiers would share her location without permission.
"Tracked me, the way I tracked him? His desires too strong to be denied?"
Shivers cascading down her spine, she said.
"Why are you here?"
"We're married. I believe I've already informed you of our shared assets. What's yours is mine, and I wanted to see the inside of my new home."
His tone was as emotionless as ever, but when he turned to face her, his gaze burned.
"What's more?"
"You're still hard."
The words rushed from her, as unstoppable as a freight train. He raised his chin as if proud.
"Part way, at least."
"You mean it gets bigger?"
she asked, suddenly breathless. He might have smirked.
"A lot bigger."
Definitely smirked.
"Is it for me? Please, please be for me. Or for all the beauties at the feast?"
"I don't want those other women."
He roved his gaze over her breasts, her aching breasts, and between her legs, where she now throbbed. Then he added,
"To die when you throw another jealous fit."
"Who? What? How? Me?"
"As if you have room to talk. You were ready to murder William, the man you need to win your crown."
His nostrils flared. "This is true."
Wait, he just copped to his jealousy.
"I told myself I'd stay away," he continued, "that I'd avoid the cut of the sword. Yet here I am, only a few short hours later, willing to deal with the complications and fallout. What do you think that says about me, lass?"
"No, stay silent. Do not answer."
"I'll tell you what it says."
As her entire world seemed to pivot on its axis, he cupped his groin and grated,
"Yes, this is for you. I want only you."
Chapter 23 Puck's words echoed in Gillian's mind. Avoid the cut of a sword. That's how he saw her, a sword. Stay silent. How dare he issue such a command? Only you. Her knees wobbled. And he stiffened, and she wanted to screech, because she knew what would happen next. He'd go cold.
"If you turn into Iceman right now, I'll poison your next meal," she said.
Looking like the very definition of detached, he winged up a brow. "Keep acting like a shrew and I'll willingly eat it."
"Shrew? How dare he?"
Gillian stalked closer, certain she was a bomb, with a rapid countdown clock. But as their gazes remained intertwined, neither challenger willing to glance away,
Her inhalations became his exhalations, and she realized they were breathing each other's air. Anger morphed into arousal. Tremors ruined her attempt to appear unaffected, tremors in her ever-hardening nipples. Probably the passion fever flushing her skin as well. I've gone so